This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I don't think the Bills will ever win with Sean McDermott as the coach. Same goes, by the way, for John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, same draft. We have never seen quarterback coach pairings together for this long that haven't won yet that end up winning a Super Bowl. I know, like, Bills fans don't want to hear this, but, like, this is the truth. How many times do you have to get your brains beaten in by the Kansas City Chiefs before you say, let's try something different? And you're never going to fire the quarterback because he's one of the best players in the league. I think it is a huge mistake for the Bills to continue on with Sean McDermott. I wish he were the coach of my favorite team, the Giants. He's not a bad coach. Just that, like, the expiration date has long since been hit here, in my estimation.
Nick Kostos was show up in the Bulldog yesterday. The second spiciest call of the week to this station. I've been using the term spicy a lot. I may need another one. Jeremy and Joe, that is, let me tell you, I love my, here's a stat that's not a predictive stat used like it's a predictive stat. A coach and quarterback together this long have never won before. That is not meaningful. There are lots of ways to explain why that would be true, and it is not meaningful. So, you know, does it mean that the Bills will definitely win with Sean McDermott? No. Mm-hmm. But he says it about John Harbaugh, too. Okay. Go for it. If you want.
Someone's going to win other than Andy Reid.
Yes.
Right?
Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni would have done it in year three together, so they're off the hook.
Yeah.
And who else here? You have, is Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan, are they on watch now? Does Ben Johnson have 5 years with Caleb Williams? Do all these coaches and quarterbacks, I've got Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence, 5 years or else it's not going to happen. Somebody's going to win. It can't just be Mahomes and Reed. It might be. Part of the reason that's a statistic is because of all of the Brady and Belichicking out there. There's two decades of those two preventing teams from winning. Even if they didn't win, you know, they knocked teams out of the AFC.
Well, and often you do get owners that will get impatient, and they will fire guys, and even when they win, right, like the Bills have,
right.
They'll get impatient, and they'll fire them after, you know. I'm sure there are owners that would have fired Sean McDermott. It's not to say they would be in the right, and that Pegula is in the wrong, but there would be owners, I'm sure, out of 30, I don't know how many, would say, you've lost to the same team 4 times in the playoffs, you're out of here.
Yeah. Well, it's not even just that. Every single coaching quarterback combo in that set he would use would be all of the bad teams also.
Right.
Every Zach Wilson, every Adam Gase team, every time Pete Carroll gets Drew Locke. So on and on, it's just, there's another one. There's another pair that didn't win within 5 years. So without saying, I think they definitely will win, the idea that they won't because of this made-up, carefully crafted statistic that's more of a note, I don't buy it. So due respect to Nick Kostos, like, I wouldn't be out there yelling about that. You know, can I tell you something funny? That, again, everything is about legacy. Charles Barkley tweeted something this week that was the
tweeted something?
Yeah.
On Twitter?
He said something and it got sent to Twitter.
That makes more sense to me.
Did you see this that he said that
so.
if the Lakers lose to the Timberwolves, then LeBron's not a top five player anymore?
Okay.
Wake up your kids, guys. Wake up your kids, ladies and gentlemen. Let them know LeBron's no longer a top five player because the Lakers lost to the T-Wolves.
All right. At 40 years old, by the way. At 40 years old.
Hey, Jordan would have never lost to the T-Wolves. Okay.
Well, because he couldn't play basketball anymore at 40 years old.
Every single conversation that circles around championships and only being defined by championships is rife with just the most terrible discourse and statistics and, you got 5 years, time to move on.
That is definitely true. In this case, though, doesn't it have to be defined now by championship?
The Bills?
From here on, it has to be. Because they had a good conversation yesterday in the afternoon show about...
Oh, I love this conversation.
About how, are you more... What was the way they framed it?
They asked, are you more grateful or upset/frustrated?
Exactly.
What are the last 5 years for you when you think about the Bills?
Right.
Are you grateful or upset?
Right. And on Thursday at our draft party, I mentioned this earlier in the week, they put up that graphic, that stat on ESPN that said most wins in NFL history over 6 years without reaching the Super Bowl in the place groan/booed. That stat.
Yep.
Which they had a good caller on. I don't remember what hour it was in, but a caller that brought up that whole idea and that... To me, the fairest place to be is you are grateful that the Bills are this and that they are this interesting, but you and that they are this good and that you're there 35-7 at home in the last however many years, but you're also not satisfied.
Sure.
And as a fan, you should not be satisfied with we're just great, but we haven't won. You got to do the thing. Right. And that was a little bit of my frustration a little bit earlier in the week is that there is is there not come off as a little bit of attitude like they've already won it?
Well, let's get to that. The question itself, grateful or upset?
Right.
Like, are you more great? When you think about this time, are you grateful or upset? 803-0550, that was their conversation yesterday. I heard this question and I loved it. Because my answer is, if there was a slider, 100 to one side, 100 to the other, grateful or upset, where am I? This may come as a surprise to some of you. My answer is 100-0 grateful. It's not close. I want to even go so far as to say I'm not upset. Maybe I'm not upset enough because I'm so grateful.
Uh-huh.
Sure, we talk about how they could be better. What could they do? Let's get to these games. And then we get to those games, and when they win or they lose, I am eternally grateful for living in this era of the Bills. I think the drought brought me to a land of course I want them to win the Super Bowl. It would be the greatest thing ever. But you can't get me to even tick that slider more than 5 points to the upset side. Upset? Mm-hmm. When they lost to the Texans, I know people were devastated. I came in the next day, I'm so happy to have been a part of it. Mm-hmm. It was a playoff game. And the AFC Championship games, I mean, listen, losing to the Chiefs is getting old. And I'm getting annoyed at them, the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's frustration involved, but it is not close for me. The GM can get mad at me for wanting receivers, and we can argue with each other about the value of guards, but at the end of the day, I work in the place where we watch Josh Allen do magic things. And I think back to the people that watched this team in the 90s, sure, other people can walk into the room and say, oh, four straight Super Bowls. And that hurts to lose those. But are you crazy? To have lived through that that's the point. You never get guaranteed championships. It's why anytime anybody asks me, would you want a championship? I can never know that I'm going to get one. The whole idea is the chase. The whole idea is, will we ever get there? Will they ever do it? It's the most dramatic television show there is. It's a community, unifying experience, and we're all on the ride together. And I am endlessly grateful that we have a good era of football to talk about.
I'm definitely that too. I'm definitely not 100-0 like you are. I might be 70-30 in favor of grateful.
Give me like 98-2. I'll put a 2 in there.
98-2.
I'll put a 2 in there.
Part of it is it is that they haven't won and that I've never seen them win, and knowing you're thinking about like what that could be like and being angry that they I guess you kind of have to feel like they should have, though. You have to feel like they should have won one.
I do think they are overdue. I think that they should have not even won one. They should have been to one by now.
And there also is, I don't know how many Bills fans carry this around. It's probably healthy to not carry this around. That the period of time that you are grateful for and that you enjoy so much and is so much fun is also embarrassing. Because that's the Super Bowl era. I didn't live through that, but when that era comes up, it's both. It's more healthy, again, to think about how great that was and to have lived through it, but you see jokes made about it all the time. But still, to this day, there are jokes that are made about how they lost four straight Super Bowls. There's this caveat that comes with all those great times that they had to throw that little extra embarrassing piece of it. And to a lesser extent, I think that's that six-year most wins without reaching a Super Bowl stat. There's this little piece of embarrassment that comes along with it.
Yeah, it's the new, oh, congratulations.
Right, a little bit.
Congratulations. And if there's someone from a market or a team that has won, they get to slap you across the face with it.
Right.
You can be a Packers fan and do it. You can be, of course, a Chiefs fan. You can be not a Bengals fan. The Bengals haven't won anything. They went to a Super Bowl. They can throw that at you.
Right, it's anxiety and winning while Allen is this good, and you know ever thinking about the idea that they wouldn't win. I still think they're going to win. That's the other thing. That's what makes me not be, you know.
They're
going to
get it done eventually.
Eventually, I'll get to a point where it's 50-50, grateful versus upset. The longer this goes on, really, it's more and more. How much has the anxiety grown for me personally that they're not going to win it? And for right now, I still believe that they're going to. And that you can even tie in the wide receiver point about this earlier in the week. Sure, I believe that their best chance to win it would be if they have like an elite receiver to go along with all this other stuff they have. But I tell you right now, I think they're going to win it someday, and I do not think they're going to have an elite receiver on the team when they do. Fair?
That might be right. I don't know.
They're not talking or acting like they're ever going to go chase that.
There's lots of ways.
You could get a draft pick to become that, and that would be a way to do it. But like right now, they are the co-favorites to win the AFC, which is a little bit funny.
As they should be.
That Nick Wright clip the other day where he called us Jerry and Joe, he got distracted because they put a graphic up on the bottom that said Bills were favored and Chiefs were behind them. So
he got mad about that, huh?
Yeah. The Bills and Ravens. I think he started yelling about how many times these guys have to take turns losing before you're willing to make Kansas City the favorites.
And therein lies the upset part of it.
Exactly.
Like these that's exactly the thing. There are people that exist, not us, to make you upset. Sometimes we do, but we don't exist solely for that purpose. Anyway, let's get some calls in. 803-0550. And on that thing about McDermott from Nick Costos, there is a conversation about...
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
How many years until something major changes?
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback's not going to be it. Coach and GM are the only two major changes the Bills could make if they wanted to.
Well, they already made the only other one they could have made, which was Diggs.
I mean, and that doesn't rate to the same big way. Change. Yeah. You're not getting it done. If they're not getting it done defensively, who goes? McDermott, Bean? Who's most likely to go?
If they don't get it done defensively?
Yeah. Because there's a funny thing happened on the way to Brandon Bean building the defense and saying over and over and over, it's the defense, it's the defense, it's the defense. It was the defense. Is every time he says that, I think people look at Sean McDermott and say it's that guy's fault. And
yeah,
despite the fact that Brandon Bean, of course, built the defense,
right,
he doesn't get tied to the defense. This week was Bean aligning himself with the offense. Was it not?
Yeah.
Bringing up Allen and Rosen here and on McAfee. Talking about how all the stats about the offense. And then it's the defense that let us down. And I think it is, I don't know that it's calculated. I might not go that far. But anybody that follows this team, when you think about the defensive failures, who do you think of, McDermott or Bean? Bean gets the players. Bean drafts them, signs free agents. I mean, people here think that McDermott has a decision, has a hand in every single personnel move they make, right down to not wanting a receiver. And I don't think that that's accurate. So,
yeah,
if they have another offensive season like they just did and the defense lets them down and we come in here on the Monday after that game, whose name are you going to hear? So-and-so's got to go. Who's going to go? McDermott or Bean? They do not report to each other. They both report to the head coach. So at some point, they both report to the owner. So at some point, if there is going to be a change, that owner is going to have to pick a side. 803-0550.
But how many years of not winning before you can
before
get to
the
that?
Owner says, or before one of the sides says, "I need a different partner here."
Mm-hmm.
Or do they just stay together? Jason in Amherst. Hey, Jason. Good morning.
Hey, I'm happy you guys are talking about how you can be both grateful and frustrated, because it seems like a lot of people, at least debating online, think you have to be one or the other. And I was alive for the Super Bowl era, the drought, and I'm super grateful. Every morning after a win on Monday, that day is better. I'm like light and smiling at people. So, but I am really, really frustrated, and I wanted to talk about the McDermott point. I don't think we should be calling for him to be fired, but everyone does have their breaking point, and that's an interesting conversation. I have one more playoff loss in me, a playoff loss where we look kind of unprepared or like we don't have any answers. I just want to have a defense that, stops Patrick Mahomes a little bit, not even a lot. He can have a good game. He can have a great game. It's just hard to watch him have like a historically efficient game where one of his best games of his career against us, like he did in this last one. It's just starting to get tough for me to I didn't know I could feel pain like I did after this last loss. It was shocking to be brought back into that world this much. So I think I have one more. I assume everyone has their breaking point. And one quick thing I wanted to say, a lot of people say, well, who else are you going to get? We don't know who's good out there. I had no idea Sean McVay was going to be a successful coach because I didn't know who he was. Like, you hire someone who interviews well, and then they turn into someone good. We don't know who might be good. You try things, and you can say that with every winning coach. We didn't know about them until they won. So I don't think that's a great retort.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jason. As I say grateful, I guess it's just because I don't view wanting to, like you said, people act like you have to be one or the other. I'm very grateful, but absolutely pushing for whatever it takes to win. I want the Bills to go more all in and be more like the Eagles in the way that they defer money and use the salary cap to their advantage. The Eagles do it in a way that other teams don't and probably should. And I also don't appreciate, and it really doesn't make sense to me, if you call and say, like, I'd move on from McDermott, anybody that responds with, oh, so we can go back to the drought years, like, I don't ever view that as a serious comment. The thing about Allen, and this is something we got into this week, is no matter what, no matter who he's with, Bills fans are going to believe they can win with Josh Allen, and that's probably justified.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of played with the experience during the draft. What if Josh Allen, the Bills fold, and he becomes the quarterback of the Cowboys? What do you think the Cowboys will do? I mean, Dak is good. The Cowboys are a playoff team. Are they a contender in the NFC immediately?
Maybe a lot better. Yes.
Even though Dak is good.
Yeah.
If Josh Allen just left and went to the Giants, what would they be? In the mix for the division?
Super Bowl contender.
If you went to the Bucs, are they a Super Bowl contender?
Yes.
If you went to the Rams, what are they doing? Contender. Super Bowl contender.
I think almost any team, probably actually every team in the league Who's the worst team in the league? Put him on Carolina.
The
Where
Titans.
Are they?
He goes to the Titans. What do they do? They make the playoffs this year?
Yeah. Probably. Maybe they're not Super Bowl contender, but they're, yeah, I pick them and make the playoffs.
And that's a powerful thing to have on your team. And
yeah.
It raises your expectation. And that's like the genesis of how the Bean argument gets going is he's thinking, I got to build these other places for Allen, while I think, and some other Bills fans seem to think, boy, you got to just surround him with everything he needs because he could go anywhere and win. And if you're not doing it, it kind of just brightens the spotlight each and every time. I keep making the comparison to Rory McIlroy because when I read Kyle Porter about Rory, I think it was Kyle Porter that wrote this, it was a way to talk about pressure that I'd never thought about it before and I just appreciated it. When you haven't won the thing that everybody knows you can, you haven't won the thing that everybody mm-hmm. knows that you should win.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen's pressure is not the same as, shouldn't say that. The pressure to win with Josh is not the same as the pressure to win with Dak. Dak is really good. But mm-hmm. there's not this, he should have had one by now. Mm-hmm. And Allen has that. Does Burrow even have that? How many quarterbacks have the...
It's Allen and Jackson.
Right.
That's it.
If you have him, you should have won it.
Right.
And maybe in 7 years, Jaden Daniels gets to that status if he plays amazing and doesn't get to one.
Right.
But that's the building the Bills operate in. You should have had one.
By the way, on the coach point, this could be the GM too. And this is I'm not saying that either guy should be fired right now, but I was thinking about this yesterday a little bit that if they ever did that, years from now they're still not winning and they actually move on from one of the two. It isn't like the drought. Like there's not a fear of mine that they wouldn't get some qualified candidate. Chan Gailey comes here as the head coach in part because nobody else would take the job, right? Like they had to hire a fired offensive coordinator because that's where the state of the organization was. We have this conversation with the Sabres all the time, right? There was a report they tried to call Craig Berube last offseason about being the Sabres head coach and he didn't want to take the call, basically. Why? Because look at the state of the franchise. Look at the state of the Bills. If some dramatic shift happens in 3 years and they still haven't won and Sean McDermott's no longer the head coach or Brandon Bean's no longer the general manager, you don't think that the most qualified candidates are going to be lining up to coach Josh Allen?
Hey, do you want to come in our brand new palace of a stadium that we're just about to open with the best player in the NFL?
You'll have people quitting their jobs to get this one. So that's not to say I want either one of them fired. It's just I don't have this fear that if they ever do,
what would happen,
that they're going to get some bozo to come run the show.
Elijah Moore. We like the Elijah Moore signing quite a bit. Fits in quite nicely.
Yes, I like it a lot. He's going to wear, he wore number 8 in Cleveland.
Yeah? Is he going to wear 8?
Is that taken right now?
Should I get a jersey? Just to commemorate the last 4 days? I was joking about that last night. Maybe I get a
Is there a pun to be had? But you should put like more wide receivers on the back? M-O-O-R-E.
Elijah Moore jersey. I have an Andy Dalton jersey to commemorate that day. I have a Cam Atkinson jersey.
You do?
Yeah.
You have an Andy Dalton jersey?
Yes.
A Bengals Andy Dalton jersey?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know this. When's the last time you wore it?
The
Bengals annoy you now. You wouldn't wear a Bengals jersey.
No, that's right, but I think it was the player that's responsible for ending the drought. I was going to buy his jersey, so I bought Dalton's jersey.
Yeah. I'm assuming made sure to make sure it was the one that he was actually – it was the white one, right?
Nah, I just bought an Andy Dalton jersey.
Wait. You bought an Andy Dalton jersey, but it's not the one, like the same color he was wearing when he broke the drought?
No.
I would have tried to line that up.
Yeah, well.
I also have a Cam Atkinson jersey, by the way. 8 is unavailable because Terrell Bernard switched his number.
Oh, that's right.
So Terrell Bernard is 8.
Do we have to be scared that Elijah Moore is going to get one of these bad numbers? Like 20, 22?
Who were you telling me the other day
Number? Matthew Golden took 22. Terrace Marshall took 46.
46. Well, 43 is available. Let's see. 1, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all taken.
That's bad news.
11 taken. 12 taken. Retired.
Taken.
13 available. 14 unavailable. 15 unavailable. 16 available. 18 available.
Who's in
13, 16, 18 are his only numbers.
Who's in 14 right now? Because that was, of course, Diggs and then Claypool.
Mike White.
All right.
He's back. I think he's gonna be the backup quarterback.
I mean, sure. That's. I mean, they gave it to Claypool. So come on. 13.
Oh, Diggs. You're making. Yeah. They already gave it out.
13, that's Stevie Johnson. Elijah Moore in 13.
16.
You know what?
I think 18 is the one. He wore 8. 18, just add the 1 in.
My Gabe Dados jersey would appreciate 13 because then I can just change the nameplate.
No, they have to save that, though, for when Gabe Davis gets cut by the Jaguars and inevitably comes back to the Bills.
How about in the 80s? What do you got in the 80s?
The 80s. See, my mind is so trained now on receivers, I didn't even think to look at the 80s because nobody does it.
Shavers is 80.
Shavers is 80. 81 available, 82, 83. 84 is Zach Davidson. 85 is available.
You're in the tight end. You can't go higher than 84. That's tight end territory.
Well, 88 you could do, but still, that's also taken.
I think 81. 81 works for me. Give me the
89 is Jalen Virgil.
The old peerless price number for Elijah Moore.
You know what? I might go 87 for Elijah Moore.
That's a tight end number.
Let's bring that back. Reggie Wayne, right? You've had some great receivers that
you're
have worn 87 over the years.
Trying to put a slow number on Elijah Moore is terrible.
He's going to change the narrative
on
87.
You can't make 87
fast.
We're
going to take it back from the tight ends.
87 is Gronk. You can't make 87 fast. You can't do it. 87,
unless the guy is fast.
Nope.
Mushlin Muhammad was number 87.
Mushin Muhammad.
Roger Craig.
You can't make 87 fast. Can't do it. We would be watching him on film. And like,
Kadarius Toney.
He's too slow. He's wearing what?
Kadarius Toney was number 87 when he started with the Giants. So what do you want? You want 18 for him?
How'd that go with the Giants? Not very good.
Yeah, it didn't. Oh, Romeo Doubs is number 87?
Looks slow.
Does he?
I don't know. 803-0550. Paul Hamilton, when we get back, there's a Friedman report. Elliot Friedman about what's going on with the Sabres. They did have their meeting. We'll check in on the Amerks playoff run, how Devin Levi's been doing. But also ask Paul, like, is anything going to happen? It's May 1st, and they had their end of season. They said they were going to meet with ownership. We'll talk with Paul Hamilton, just a quick check-in on the Buffalo Sabres. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.